For Junior Church, head on out that door that way. All right. Good job. Keep them moving. I think we need a whip or something. Yeah. Head on out. All right. Hey, I got my sling off, which is pretty good. So I feels good, yeah, but it's still a little tender, so I just got to be careful. When I'm preaching, I got to do more pointing with this hand, you know, than this hand, so I got to just work on that. But we're in a series, and the series is called Moving Towards Maturity, and we want to know how we change. We're talking about how we change. There's not a lot written on it today. In fact, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine about what it means to mature and to grow and to become wiser, and he was telling me a cute little story. He, Christmas Eve, dressed up as a wise man, and he invited all the church to come and the kids to come to the production, and he was going to stand up, pretend like he was a wise man, and imitate the role of the wise man out of Matthew's gospel. And so he got all dressed up, and he stood in front of the congregation, and he began to do his monologue. And as he was doing his monologue, one of the kids in the front row stood up and said, "Hey, that's not a wise man, that's my pastor." Sometimes we don't feel like wise men. And boy, if we could ever use some wise men today, we need them, especially when we're talking about sanctification, how we grow, how we change, how we become like Christ. You know, as I do a lot of reading, I read a lot about the doctrine of election, and praise God, I believe in that. Beautiful doctrine. I read a lot about God's sovereignty, and I'm excited about the fact that God is. I read a lot about eschatology, that the Lord is coming back again. Praise God. But very little information today is talked about when it comes to sanctification, how we change, how we become like Christ, how I rid myself more and more of sin and become more and more like Jesus. You don't find a lot of work on that. And it's kind of sad because that's where we live today, is it not? We want to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're trying to figure out, according to God's Word, how in the world do we do this? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, all the way down to verse 24, Paul is going to talk about exactly how you and I do that. We use this little chart to help us explain a little bit about it. And we looked at these five areas for which we experience change. The first being that God changes us. That's the number one principle. You are involved in that change. This is a synergistic confluence between you and God working together. But primarily, you need to understand that it's the work of God that continually changes you. Not only does God change you, He also allows struggling and hardship and suffering to come into your life because suffering will change you. And we'll spend some time talking about what it is to suffer and what it is to go through hard times. And then wise people change you. Not just wise people, but think about small groups. Think about church. Think about Bible studies. Think about things that you're involved in where other people are. Somebody once said that you'll be the same you are today 5 years from now, except for the people that you meet and the books that you read. I think that's an interesting insight, because when we gain more, when we read more, we grow more. Now, reading may not be your thing. You may want to listen to messages. You may want to do it another way. That's fine. But you will be the same that you are unless you really engage in the process of change. And then ultimately, at the top of the chart, truth changes you. And you're going to discover that the truth is this book right here, God's Word. It is not a truth. It is the truth. It is the standard of truth. Everything else is compared to what this book says. The Word of God is truth. And then lastly, is not a result in the center, but it's part of the process, and that is that you are involved in change. If you don't do anything to change yourself, nothing's going to happen. You're just going to sit there. It'd be like you wishing to go work out, like me. I wish that I would go work out, and I wish that I would, you know, be strong. I wish that I would do all those things, and you know, but I don't. So look at me. You see what happens. You don't change. But when you get involved in the process, God actually changes you. And then we want to wrap a big umbrella around the whole thing. And we want to make sure that we understand this is all for the glory of God. You understand that, don't you? The result of everything is that we are more in love with our Savior Jesus Christ, and He is greatly glorified. Really, that's all that really matters. All these other things are just ways and avenues for which to get us to the ultimate, and that is for the glory of God. And so whatever He's taking you through right now, whatever you're going through in life right now, is ultimately for a display of His glory. And He wants to bring His glory to you, and He wants you to see His glory, to make His name known around the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. So Paul now, in Ephesians chapter 4, is going to talk about how God changes us. And remember last week we said one of the ways that God changes you is He disciplines you. Sometimes He corrects you, and correcting you, He changes you. That's His work. But here's another way in which God changes you. Look at it in verse 17 all the way down through verse 24. Let me read and you follow along. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and true holiness. Here Paul is underlining very clearly for us how we change. And the process of this change is not only your involvement, but in particular, God's involvement. He's going to change you from the old kind of person that you used to be to a new kind of person. In verses 17 through 19, he just gives us an outline about five or six different things of who we are in the old man, the old self. He tells us in verse 18, the basic problem of the old self is due to the hardness of heart. Men do not believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts are hard, and until the Word of God and the Spirit of God penetrates their heart, it remains hardened. And because of that, he lets us know that they're darkened in their understanding. We don't understand the things of God. We don't even get it. In fact, until the Spirit of God quickens us and makes us alive in Him, we're pretty much ignorant of everything. And then he lets us know that because of this, we really are people who are ignorant. We're ignorant from the life of God. We like to think that we know what's going on, but the truth is, we don't. And to make it even worse, we're caught up in our own desires. We've given ourselves up to sensuality, to greed, to practice every kind of impurity. This is our old man. This is who we were. This is who I was before I came to know Jesus Christ. And when you sum it all up, he says, here it is, the futility of your mind. Basically, you as an individual, Mike, were worthless, going no direction, drifting, and did not know God at all. I think that pretty much sums up everyone's life before you came to know Christ. Now, if that's all we were and that's all that happened to us, it would be terrible. We would be stuck without any possibility of any real change. But here's what happens. God changes you. And aren't you glad? Listen to what he says in the book of Colossians as he outlines how you used to be. These two you once walked. You were living in them. But now you put all away anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self or the old man with its practices. That's who you were. Even listen to this from Paul in Corinthians. He just really nails it and just gives us a whole litany of problems that we have. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty sad, isn't it? That's who we were in the old man. But then in verse 11, thank God for this, he says, but such were some of you. Boy, amen. Amen to that. Look what happened. You were washed. You were sanctified. you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amazing what happens. The moment I come to know Jesus Christ, my old self, my old man that I was, is immediately gone and I become a new man. I become a new person. I become what God has meant for me to be because now I have a new life in Christ. The old man is gone. The new man has arrived. Sometimes you'll hear people, instead of using the word new man or old man, they'll talk about an old nature or a new nature. I try to refrain from that. Every once in a while I slip up and I use those words because nature is not really descriptive enough, and the text literally says the old self or the old man. And what he's talking about is that everything that I was in Adam, so all of my sin, everything that I did that was wrong, everything that was about who I was, followed after my great-great-great-grandfather Adam, and I was a rotten sinner. But the moment that I came to know Christ as my Savior, He quickened me, He made me alive in Him, He translated me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, and He gave me a brand new life. I now am a new man in Christ. Look at what Paul says in Romans. We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so that we too might walk in, here it is, what? Newness of life. Or as Paul says it in 2 Corinthians, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. That you are a new creation in Christ. Some of you think what I'm saying is, well, I had an old man over here who was a rotten sinner, and even though I may have never done a lot of bad things, I still had a bad disposition. I still didn't follow Christ. I still had bad attitudes. And now that I get saved, this old man of who I used to be comes over here with the new man, and now God adds His Spirit inside of me, and Christ is living me, and I'm a spiritual schizophrenic. I have the old man, and I have the new man living within me. That's not what the Bible is teaching. You need to understand that the old man over here is dead. It's gone. It's rendered inoperative. He has given you a new man, and that's why He says you are a new what? Creation. God doesn't make old junk. He makes new stuff. God made you brand new. You are a new creation. It's not that He takes the old stuff and the new stuff and puts it together, and now you've got a black dog and a white dog living inside of you that are fighting all the time. That's not how it works. How it works is, I left this behind in Jesus Christ. I have forsaken this. I've walked away with it. It's killed. It's dead. It's been eradicated. And now I'm living as a new man in the power and the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a creative act by God that He does. You don't do that at all. You don't have anything to do with it. That happens to you the moment you get saved. You become a new man in Christ. Amen? Aren't you glad the old man's gone away? I'm glad. The old man used to be terrible. I was only 9 or 10 when I came to know Christ, so I didn't have a long list of sins, but tell me, I was a sinner. And the reality is when He saved me, He changed me. Well, now you got a question in your mind, don't you? And the question is this. Well, Pastor Mike, if I am a new man, and I have Christ now living within me, and I am created in the image of God, and now I reflect His glory, then how come I still sin? Huh? How come you still sin? Why is it you still mess up? Well, again, you're not your old self. You are a brand new self, a brand new man. Paul helps explain why we still sin. And I'm looking forward to Gus preaching in Romans 7. If you haven't been coming to Band of Brothers, I would encourage you to come. We meet at 6 o'clock on Wednesday mornings, and Gus has been doing an exposition out of Romans chapter 7, and it's an exciting thing, and he's getting his way down here to verse 18. And he's also going to be preaching in this series on how we mature out of Romans, so I'm excited about it. But here's what Paul says. Here's why you screw up. Here's why you mess up. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. He's going to clarify, that is my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Does that sound like anybody in here? You say, can you identify with this passage of Scripture? Don't say amen, say oh me. Yeah, okay, good. We're all together then. Because I look at this and I go, oh me, look at this, oh boy. Now, verse 20. If I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who want to do it, but what? The sin that dwells within me. I think it's really interesting to look at this passage of Scripture because what he's basically saying is though the old man has been eradicated and set apart, I still dwell in a body that is flesh. And this sin that dwells within me is part of my flesh. And because I have a fleshly body, I use this word to explain it, I still have the residue of sin. Even though the old man is dead, there are reminiscent moments where he comes and kicks in a what I would call a involuntary response of my body, and sometimes it's voluntary, where I sin. I'll give you a couple illustrations. How many of you ever cut the head off of a chicken? You ever cut the head off of a chicken? Okay, so you grew up on a farm or a dairy or a ranch or something, and if you've ever cut the head off of that chicken, every once in a while, that chicken will do something, and what is it? Run around, right? And hence we get the saying, you run around like a chicken with your head cut off. I mean, you have no direction, you don't know what you're doing. Now, the chicken is dead. The head has been severed from the body. What is happening when he is running around without his head is a involuntary muscle response of chemicals that are still left in his body that causes the reflux of the muscles, and the chicken will run around with his head cut off. That's what happens to us. You're a chicken with your head cut off running around in a figurative way. Perhaps a better illustration might be this. How many of you ever had children that you put in the bathtub? I was talking to Frank Walton one day. He's the 10th in his family. And I said, Frank, you're the youngest in your family, 10 kids and you're the youngest. I said, what possible advantage could you have had of being the youngest and the last in your family? He says, the youngest and the last always took the bath first. And then you get out of the bathtub and the next kid gets in. The water isn't changed, you just keep getting in and getting out. And if you're the oldest kid, you got whatever is left over from 9 other children. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. But Frank said this, what was interesting is that mom would let me pull the plug on the tank. And I'd pull it and all the water would drain out. And guess what would be left in the bathtub? A beautiful ring around the tub. You ever seen that, parents? Men, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about, but for the wives who do the housework, a lot of you. But today's man is improving. He's learning how to do more housework. There is a ring around the tub. Here's what happens to you. You got a ring around your tub. The drain was pulled. The old man was drained out of the bottom. He's gone. He's no longer there. But you have the residue stain of sin residing within this body. And so, you sin. Oh me. That's the truth. So, how do I stop that? I don't want to do that anymore, Pastor Mike. I don't want to constantly have to be cleaning myself up. I want to just live a holy life all the time. Well, perfection is not possible. But Paul here is going to spell out how you can do that. Look very carefully at what it says. Beginning in Ephesians, right here. There's my picture of the chicken with his head cut off. Sorry about that. You could have gone all Sunday without having to see that, I know. I did read an article where a guy cut the head off a chicken, and he didn't do a very good job, and he just caught the top head off. And the chicken lived for 18 months with the top head. I don't know how that happened. All right. Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, sure. I got pictures on my phone if you want to see. You don't want to sin, right? So here's how you stop it. Ready? Here's a little translation. Just sat down, went down to the Greek text, sat down, here it is. Put off the old person, or sometimes it's called old self or old man, which accords with the former way of life. Here's what Paul's telling you to do. Put off the old person, put off the old man. It's a word that was used to change clothes. When you change clothes, you take your clothes off. Put off the old person, which accords with the former way of life, which is corrupted in accordance with the desires of deceit. And, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and put on the new person, which was created in accordance with God in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That is what you're called to do. Put off the old, put on the new. Like somebody would be changing clothes, take off the old, put on the new. Strip it off, put it on. Take it off, put it on. What are you taking off? The old. Here's what Paul says in the book of Ephesians. Therefore, having put away falsehood, that's the idea of taking everything off, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. I've taken it off. Or as he says in the book of Colossians, the parallel passage. Now, put them all away. Same Greek word as in Ephesians in terms of taking off and putting on. Watch this. Take off, put away, and then he gives a list of things to put away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off what? The old person. So Paul's given us this exhortation that all of the old things, even though you have sin residing within your body, even though you still have flesh in a new nature, the reality is that we are to stop the things that we used to do. Now, you can't do this on your own power. You have to be a new man. You have to have known Christ as your Savior. You've had to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Without that, this is going to be impossible. Without that, you're just going to try a self-improvement project. And sanctification is not a self-improvement project. Growing in grace is not a self-improvement project. And more holy like our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a completely different process. Now, here's what's fascinating about this old person in itself. He says, take off the old person, the old self, and notice, with its what? Practices. So, all of those things with its practices. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. If you look at those, a lot of those are just sins that we do. But you'll also notice this, that some of these, wrath, anger, are not just practices, but they are attitudes. And so what Paul is saying is you've got to take off not just the old things that you used to do and stop doing them, but you also have to shred all of the bad attitudes that you have, all of those bad, rotten emotions that you carry with you. Get rid of that, because that is not what it is to be in Christ. Your attitude and your disposition and your actions are extremely important. And you are called to no longer live like the old man did in his old ways, in his old self, where he had a rotten attitude, he was filled with anger, he was filled with rage, like so many men are today. No longer are we to do that, but we are to completely change the disposition when we get saved, and now we no longer practice those things. We are a changed person. We become brand new in Jesus Christ. That is powerful. And that means how I treat people, my disposition, my anger, my frustration, my emotions, my attitudes, they're all connected to me spiritually. And when God wishes to renew me, He just doesn't want to renew and to tell me, stop doing bad actions. He also says, Mike, I don't want you to have a bad attitude and a bad disposition. I want that changed in you. You need to change that. And so as a new person in Jesus Christ, it's not just doing something that's wrong, it's thinking the wrong way as well. You got to change your way of thinking. You've got to have this up here completely re-overhauled. You've got to be thinking more about what it is to be the new man and doing whatever it takes to live in the power of the new man and the Spirit of God. And He's going to tell us how to do that. We've got to live here and not there. Amen? Now, there is a problem. There is a problem. The problem is that some of us understand the principle of the old man and the new man. But here's a real issue. Sometimes we were raised in churches and communities that all they did to talk about change was stop doing what the old man did. And so when you go to church and they ask you the question, how do you change? How do you become a new person? How do you grow in maturity? The answer you get is, stop it! Don't do it! And then they give you a whole list of sins not to do. And if you're not doing any of those sins, they make up some more sins that they think are sins, just so you feel guilty. Like, don't play cards. Don't go to the movies. I was told that as a child. Don't go to the movies. Why? I said, innocently, I had never been to a movie. I wanted to go to a movie. We were going to go see 80 days around the world, or 80 whatever around the world. Something, one of those old movies. Anyway, I was going to go see it, and I was all excited about it. And then my Sunday school teacher totally ruined it when she said, if you go there, Michael, and the rapture comes, you're not going to go. Yeah. Well, I fixed her. I became a post-tribulationalist, so much for you. Yeah. But you see, all they do is focus in on the old man. And Paul isn't just saying, get rid of the old man. He's saying, put on the new. And if all you do is talk about the old man, you are short-circuiting how you grow. And sometimes you'll hear me say this, I'm growing up as a recovering Baptist. Meaning this, in the Baptist denomination that I grew up in, everything was about the sins that you did. It was the old man, 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 stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. And then pretty soon I said, can I do anything? No. I remember at church, I was out in the front yard, the front lawn. I cut the grass at the church, and I was playing softball with a friend of mine, just catch. It was after church. And I remember the pastor coming over, putting his arm around me, and he says, son, what are you doing? I said, I'm playing soft, playing catch, waiting for my dad. My dad was in a meeting. We're playing catch. He said, what day is this? I said, it's Sunday. He said, it's the Lord's day. And I said, yes, it is. And he says, you ought not to do anything on the Lord's day but rest. Go put your baseball and your mitt away. Old man. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. That's not even a commandment that he used. Or the opposite can be true. You can do nothing but talk about the new man. There are some churches that you go to where everything has to do with the new man and grace. Grace, 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 grace. And I'm all for grace, people. Praise God, because if it wasn't for grace, I wouldn't be here. But they don't put into balance, take off the old and put on the new. And so consequently, you have people who are living what they think is the process of the new man. And the problem is this, is that they haven't dealt with and haven't understood that the actions and attitudes and the residue of sin of the old man are also to be removed from my new life. Case in point, I don't know if you remember the 60s, but for those of you who do remember the 60s, and the early 70s, there was a man by the name of Lonnie Frisbee. That was his real name, Frisbee. I don't know if he had anything to do with the Frisbee or not, but that was his last name. And he was the original Jesus freak. When you looked up Jesus freak in the dictionary, his picture came up. He was a guy who lived up in San Francisco, was part of the flower power, love child, all that something of the summer of 66 and 67, did drugs, every kind of sexual immorality you could possibly think of, and then something gloriously happened. He got saved. God changed his life. Old man dead, new man now alive. But Lonnie would go out and he would preach everywhere and anywhere. He would go to the beach and he would stand and he would start yelling at people around the beach, asking them to gather around, and literally hundreds of people would come. And he would preach Christ and say, if you want Jesus, come forward and get saved. And man, I'm telling you, tens, 20s, 30, 40, hundreds of people came forward. And he would spend the afternoons at the beach baptizing people one after another. Chuck Smith went down there and saw his evangelistic work and said, Lonnie, I want you to be on staff with me. And he started a ministry at Calvary Chapel. And he was doing the Wednesday night ministry. And literally all of these hippies and all of these love childs were coming, and they were just sitting everywhere in the church on the floor. There wasn't enough chairs, and they were crowded everywhere. And people, the old people at Calvary Chapel were so angry. We got all these hippies in church. Look at them. They haven't bathed. They got long hair. They got beards. Look at them. They're just all over the place. And Chuck said, I'd rather have them here hearing about Jesus than any other place. And many of those people, by the thousands, got saved. And it spurred the Jesus movement. It was incredible. And Lonnie Frisbee was one of the founders of that movement. However, one day, Chuck Smith and John Wimber had to go to Lonnie and talk to him because there was a vicious rumor going around about him that his morality was being compromised. The truth was, is even though that he was married, he was continuing to do drugs and he was continuing to live an immoral lifestyle. And they confronted him in his sin and they said, Lonnie, you've got to stop what you're doing. You're a new man in Jesus. And Lonnie wouldn't quit. He said, no, I have the freedom to do in Christ whatever I want to do. No, you do not. You may not continue in sin. Paul answers that very clearly. May we continue in sin so that grace may abound? May genitoi may never be. God forbid. No! And so they remove Lonnie from the church. And what was so sad, a few years later, Lonnie contracted AIDS and he died. Can God use a man like that? Yeah. But just don't make the mistake Lonnie made. Remember, God can use anybody. But don't confuse God working through you with God working in you and on you. Because sanctification is not about how I can impress God with all the abilities and skills that I have. My sanctification and my holiness is all about serving Him and letting Him work on me and changing me into that beautiful image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to have happen more than anything in the world. I want to be like my Lord. I want to be holy like Him. I want to be a man of God. And every morning I get up, I go to battle with the chicken in the head. I go to battle with the residue of sin that's left and remaining in my body. And with all the power and the might that works within me, I do whatever I can to get rid of the old stuff, to get rid of the old layover, to get rid of the old junk that's residue in my body.